الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the opportunity that we kept our first fast of the month of Ramadan today. One thing is to keep a fast, and there's another thing that a person perfects their fast. And there is a world of a difference between the two. The scholars have mentioned the three kinds of fasting, three levels of fasting. The first level of fasting is that a person stays away from food and drink and lawful relations for those who are married. This is the general, the simple, the ordinary definition that we have of fasting. And this is the fasting of the Awamun Nas, of the general people, of an ordinary average believer. Then above this, there is a higher level of fasting, which is that a person stays away from food and drink and lawful relations. Plus, they also abstain from sin. This is the fasting of the Salihin, the righteous people, that while they're fasting, their eyes are also fasting, their tongue is also fasting, their thoughts are also fasting, their whole body is fasting. And fasting here means that they are saving themselves from sins. This is a higher level of fasting, which is the fasting of the Salihin. And then there is another level, which is even higher than this, where a person stays away from food and drink, and they also stay away from sin, plus they also stay away from ghafla. They stay away from everything that is ma'siva Allah. Yani, they're always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts. Even though they might be engaged in the dunya, but their heart is never ghafil, it's never absent-minded or heedless or negligent of the remembrance of Allah. This is the highest level of fasting, which is the fasting of the Nabiyeen and the Siddiqeen, the prophets and the righteous ones, the truthful ones. So we see that what we have to work on is to try to complete our fast, to perfect our fast. And if not the highest level, it's extremely important that we realize that we need to work and attain that second level of fasting, whereby we stay away from food and drink, but we also abstain from sins. And the reason why this is so important is because Ramadan is the month of barakah. However, there are two aspects of a relationship. There are two aspects of our relationship when we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that we increase in good deeds, but the other is that we leave sins. And leaving sins is much more important. And the example that normally we give is that if there is a person who's standing in a garbage dump and they place one, they pour a whole bottle of perfume over themselves, they won't be fragrant. And on the other hand, if they leave that garbage dump and then pour a few droplets of ether on themselves, they will be fragrant. So it's very important for a person to be able to leave sins, leave those things which are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a Sahabi came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked this question, that, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to become the most worshipping servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should I do?" And the Prophet ﷺ gave a reply and said to him that ittaqul maharim takun a'budan nas, that you leave those things that are haram, those things that are sinful, and you will become the most worshipping servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, we see from this hadith that the definition of ibadah in the deen of Islam is not simply to do good deeds, but rather it also means that a person should abstain from sin. And in fact, this is much more important. That person who abstains from sin is going to make himself the most worshipping servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning, that's the mafhum of ibadah. It doesn't simply mean that a person fasts or a person prays more rak'ah or tilawat the Quran or any other act of ibadah. In fact, there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that if you do such kasrat of ibadah, and if you pray so regularly and so abundantly that your back bends down like an arrow, like the bow bends down, and you fast with so much kasrat, you fast so abundantly that you become so thin like the thorns on a rose, still what will really benefit you is that you leave sin. In other words, excessive fasting and excessive prayer and salah, or nafil fasting, that's something which is good, it's something which is important, but the real and true benefit will only come when a person leaves sin. So if you have 1 kilogram of gold, 1 kg of silver, 1 kg of platinum, all three, they're 1 kg. However, the price of each kg would be different. The weight is the same, but the value, the price would be different of each 1 kg. Similarly, people might fast, and the zahir, outwardly and apparently, they're doing the same amal, the same action. But depending on how much they abstain from sin, depending on how much they remember Allah, the value of that fast will increase. The price of that fast will increase. The qadr of that fast will increase. And on the other hand, if we fast, and there is a person who keeps a fast, but they're also engaging in all types of different sins, they are not able to control their gaze, not able to control their tongue, not able to control their limbs, then they might be fasting, but their fast might have no value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their fast will get them nothing from Allah ta'ala. In fact, there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said exactly the same thing, that there might be people who will be fasting outwardly in my ummah, but they will not get anything from their fast except for thirst and hunger. So which means that there will be people who will be doing mujahida, they will be fasting and keeping away from food and drink, but they won't be getting anything from that fast. That fast will have no effect, it will have no faida. Why? Because it's not a real fast. They have just the surat of that fast, the appearance of a fast, but not the hakikat, the reality of that fast. And all of us know that there's a world of a difference between surat and hakikat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just want the zahir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the real thing. And that's why it's so important for all of us that when we fast in this month of Ramadan, we should work on building our fast properly, which includes fasting of our eyes. This is extremely important, because when a person misdirects their gaze, then whatever nur they got because of their fast, it's just sucked out. It goes away. doing much more. There are many ibadah. The way Ramadan is designed is that there's built-in ibadah. There's built-in systems and acts that a person has to do, which draws this rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are magnets that attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we have to work on is that we have to plug the holes in our heart. And we can understand this very simply. You know, you can have two persons entering into Ramadan. One person who enters into Ramadan and doing all the acts of Ramadan, they're fasting, they're praying Taraweeh, they're reciting Quran, making dua. However, they're also sinning with their eyes, sinning with their tongue. So because of that sins that they do, that ibadah of Ramadan, the effect of that ibadah is wiped away. They won't feel any difference. They themselves will say that I don't feel anything inside of me. I'm doing these great acts of ibadah, but no difference. And on the other hand, there might be another individual who also enters into Ramadan, also doing the amal of Ramadan. However, they plug the holes in their heart, they don't sin. They keep a watch. They're fasting with their eyes. They're fasting with their tongue, fasting with their limbs. And as a result, they continually develop themselves. With each passing day, with each passing night, they're able to draw themselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're traveling that journey. So Ramadan, there is no greater source of barakah. But the number one thing that we need to work upon in this month of Ramadan is to ensure that the holes are plugged. That we have to fast with our eyes. We don't commit any sins with our limbs. Fasting at one level is leaving food and drink. That's already all of us have that level. But the second level of fasting, this is where we have to make that mujahidah. Fasting of the eyes. And this is perpetual. A person should practice keeping their eyes protected, lowering their gaze. And there's a hadith which mentions that when a person lowers their gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses that person with the sweetness of iman. Another hadith mentions that when a person lowers their gaze for the sake of Allah, then their du'as are accepted. Whatever qubuliyah, whatever du'as they make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants qubuliyah to their du'as. So this is the effect of that fast. That when you fast with the eyes, then Allah gives you that halawat. Allah enables you to feel the sweetness of your fast, to feel the sweetness of your salah, to feel the sweetness of your Quran, to feel the sweetness of your du'a. Similarly, fasting with our tongue, not to engage in backbiting or slandering, misusing our tongue, hurting others, shouting, picking an argument with someone, fighting with our spouse. We have to learn to control our tongue. And this is sometimes we make a mistake here, and we have to learn this. We have to learn this because this is extremely important for us. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that if there is a person who is fasting, and should anyone come up to you and they want to engage you in some fighting, or they're shouting at you, cursing at you, so if someone fights with you or says something to you, you shouldn't do anything. Just reply and say inni sa'imun, that I'm fasting. In other words, don't pick a fight with that person. Don't respond. Don't react. Don't respond. Don't shout back. Don't fight with that person. Don't be angry. Just say inni sa'imun, that I'm fasting. Save yourself from this. This is a mistake that we make. Many of us, we make this mistake that we engage. We engage in backbiting other people, slandering other people, shouting back. And as a result, we lose the barakah of that fast. And we also, that fast itself becomes difficult for us. There's a hadith which actually mentions that there were two women who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they were finding it, they were fasting, in a state of fasting, but they found that fast to be very difficult for them. They're extremely hungry and thirsty, to the extent that their fast became unbearable for them. They wanted to break their fast. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ seeking permission, and the Prophet ﷺ sent a message that tell them to give them this burden, this utensil, and ask them to vomit inside this utensil. And the Prophet ﷺ said that they started their fast with rizq-e halal, but they broke their fast with the haram. And then when they investigated, and these were two women who were engaged in backbiting, riba, and because of ghibat, they broke their fast. And when they vomited in that utensil, in that bartan, there are pieces of flesh that came out from their mouth. This was one of the mu'jizah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested, because it comes in Quran that when a person backbites, it's as if that person is eating the flesh of their brother. So these women, they spent the day, even though they were fasting, but they spent the day in backbiting other people, doing riba of other. And as a result, when they vomited, that those pieces of flesh came out. So this is what happens. The fast becomes unbearable. Not only it's a sin engaged in backbiting, but the fast itself becomes very difficult. So if there is a person who actually wants to make their fast easy, then we have to control our tongue. We have to moisten our tongue with the zikr of Allah. That's the fasting of tongue. And Ramadan is all about this. It's all about the akhirah. It's all about working on those a'mal, those actions which will help a person in akhirah. So we should work only for the akhirah in this month. And that means we should use our eyes only for the akhirah. We should use our tongue only for the akhirah. We should use our limbs only for the akhirah in this noble month of the month of Ramadan. And we should embark on something worldly only when it's absolutely necessary. This is a month that we want to become intent on devotions, on approaching Allah Ta'ala, and being very careful in staying away from those things that are displeasing to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Using our tongue in a way that is pleasing to Allah, with the love of the Quran, moistening our tongue with the zikr of Allah, with the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving unnecessary talk, not just leaving the haram and the impermissible talk, but even unnecessary talk, preferring silence over unnecessary talk. That person who practices silence attains najat. There is najat, there is salvation in being silent. There's so many sins that a person can save himself from. So fasting with our tongue. Similarly, fasting with our mind. Fasting of our thoughts. That's also incredibly important. That a person should not think ill of other people. And this is a classic problem that many of us have. That we view ourselves as better than others, and we degrade other people. We have degrading thoughts about others, demeaning thoughts about others. So not thinking ill of others, not thinking of ourselves arrogantly, not having takabbur and kibr, rather we should constantly be humbling ourselves before Allah. We should constantly have humility and tawazu before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our thoughts should be thoughts of humility, thoughts that we are lowering ourselves before Allah. We should be dispelling thoughts, any such arrogant thoughts or thoughts of vanity from our heart. In fact, our ulama akabirin, they mention that here in this month of Ramadan, a person should try to dispel all thoughts except other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should just be completely focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in parts of their dunya, while they're engaged in the dunya, at the back of their heart, they should be thinking about Allah Ta'ala, about the Zat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And they should be reflecting on the Zat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the Sifat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the relationship they have with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's what this month is about. That Allah is with me, reflecting on the relationship. That Allah is with me, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is before me, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is watching me. That why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering me, Allah ta'ala is loving me, yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu, that I am the object Allah Ta'ala loves me and I love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala back. So we are thinking constantly, occupying ourselves, our mind, with thoughts about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, cutting away any other distracting thoughts that come to our mind. So thinking about Allah, this is the zikr of the mind. Making dua to Allah, that's also a zikr of the mind. So we have to use this feature of Ramadan to connect to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Similarly, fasting of our ears. There's a principle that whatever it's impermissible to speak, it's also impermissible to listen to that thing. So just like it's impermissible to speak ill about other people, we should also save our ears from hearing ill about other people. Saving our ears from lies, from deception, from backbiting, from slander. Protecting our ears. The fasting, it's a means to leave sins. And if we're not able to leave sin, then we're not fulfilling the purpose of this fast. That's why the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said that the fast will become useless. It's not achieving its goal. Some people will not get anything from their fast except hunger and thirst. They will not get anything from their qiyam, from their standing at night, except becoming tired. In fact, in one of these, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned four people, that there will be four people, Allah will forgive everyone except for four people in this month of Ramadan. Every night people, thousands, multitude of people are forgiven by Allah Ta'ala. But the hadith mentions that this forgiveness will be for everyone except for four individuals. And the Sahaba asked that, who are they, Ya Rasulullah, those four? And the Prophet ﷺ said, first is an alcohol addict, person who continually, habitually drinks alcohol. That person will not be forgiven, unless until he makes tawbah from that sin. Number two is that individual who disobeys their parents. Allahu Akbar. So obedience to parents, this is also a shart. Obedience to Allah Ta'ala and obedience to our parents. Number three is that person who severs ties with his relatives. This we did a few sessions ago. Qata rahmi, that a person who breaks ties of kinships. This is also something which is very displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Allah wishes for an individual to join ties of relations with other people. To do sila rahmi. And number four is that individual who harbors ill will or malice towards other people. So malice towards other, ill thoughts about other, ill feelings about other, ill will towards other people. This is so dangerous that that person who has this disease inside his heart, that person will be outside the forgiveness, outside the purview of the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means that we don't have an option. We have to learn to purify our heart. We have to learn to remove these thoughts from our heart. We have to learn to dispel thoughts and to use our hearts, use our thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what is important about this month. This is what the real fasting is. That we work on ourselves, and so this would require some kind of mujahida also, that a person puts themselves in some solitude, they are in seclusion, they are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're safeguarding their eyes, safeguarding their tongue, they're safeguarding their limbs, they're safeguarding their hearts. Then that person truly will be able to keep a real fast, and then that real fast will have effect, will have some kefiyah. They will be able to experience it with their open eyes. They will be able to see the effect of that fast. So Ramadan, this month, there is no doubt about the fact that this is the greatest source of barakah, the greatest source of nur, the greatest source of mercy. This is the greatest source of fuel that a person can get on this journey, traveling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But while we are traveling on this journey, and we have this fuel with us, we have to, the number one thing is that we ensure that there are no leaks in this fuel tank. And we have to avoid sin. Because what sins they do is that they end up taking exactly where we were before. They anchor you down. You do some sin, then you fast, then you do some sin, then you fast. It's a whole cycle. You don't go anywhere. You just keep coming back. You move one step forward, you take one step back. One step forward, one step back. There's no progress. There is no traveling. And sometimes many young people, they start questioning the deen. When this happens to them, that, you know, they say that I fasted for one day, or I fasted for 1 week, fasted for 1 month, and I was also doing all these other ibadah, and praying Taraweeh, and making dua, and doing tilawat the Quran, but I didn't feel anything in my heart. I'm not able to do. I don't feel anything. I don't change. Why am I not changing? Why am I not benefiting? And the answer is very simple. That yes, you are doing these great things, incredible acts of ibadah. Taraweeh and fasting, all of this is incredible. However, you weren't plugging the drain. You weren't plugging the drain in your heart. Because every time when you misdirected your gaze, you placed a little hole inside your heart. And through that hole, the effect of that ibadah was sucked out. The nur of that ibadah just went away. Then you misused your tongue. You lied to other people. You hurt other people. You fought with other people. You deceived other people. Another hole came, another leak into our heart. Again, nur was sucked out from our heart. Then, and people do this all, and people do this while they're working. People, there are so many ways in which we create these holes, these leaks inside our heart. People are deceiving each other, fighting with each other. They are taking bribes from other people. They are doing rishwat, ghibah, slander, thinking ill about others. All these things when we do, we're just putting more and more holes inside our heart. And with these holes, everything that you get, it's just taken out. So that is why it's extremely important, and that's why we actually wanted to mention this right here at the outset, for all of us to understand and realize and remember this lesson. That yes, yakinan, there's no doubt that Ramadan is a big source of barakah. But even more important for us is that we have to sit down and we have to analyze our life in Ramadan and see that what are those things that we're doing where we are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our eyes or through our tongue or through our ears, through our limbs, through our hearts. What are those avenues which are making us deprived of this barakah, of this fast and all these other acts of ibadah that we're doing in this month? Sins, you know, it's not our definition of sin that matters. Sometimes we act smart with the Sharia. We redefine our definitions completely. It's not that sin is not that what we think is bad, or what the environment think is bad, or what the society thinks is bad. But sin is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks is bad. Because when what Allah Ta'ala thinks is bad, that is where the negative effect comes in. That what Allah Ta'ala has ruled against, that is what a sin is. And that's what we have to protect ourselves against. So we have to learn Sharia, we have to know what those sins are. That's the first step, would be to learn those sins. Learn Sharia. And then number two would be to try to avoid all those things, all those sins with full force. Make much more mujahida on this, that we have to leave those sins with full force. And you know, it's about an attitude, it's about an approach. And the approach is that we have to be defensive in this month of Ramadan. And we know this approach very well, because we use this approach in our dunya every day. Whenever you have anything that is valuable, let's say there's a person with a bag of gold, they're very defensive about the way they spend that day. They're defending. They're very careful. Why? Because they have this bag of gold with them. They might be turning back and looking.
multiple times to see that they aren't being followed by someone. While they're inside their car, they have to park somewhere. They'll park their car in the middle, where not in some empty plot. They're taking all these precautions. Why? Because they have this defensive approach. They're guarding that bag of gold that they have. Even though other people will not know. No one knows what's inside that bag. Only this person knows. But still he'll be so defensive in his approach. So exactly in the same way in this month of Ramadan, when you come to the masjid, when you do any act of ibadah, you fill your heart with gold. You're fasting for 16, 14, 15, 16 hours of the day. That's filling your heart with gold. Your Taraweeh is filling the heart with gold. Quran is filling the heart with gold. Your Zikr is filling the heart with gold. Your Du'as are filling the heart with gold. So we are getting gold inside our heart. But the moment we step out of this zone of Ibadah, out of the masjid, then nafs will be there. The shayateen. Now the big shaitan is chained, but there's some small little shayateen out there. They're still there. So they will try to rip you off this treasure that you have. They are there, and their number one goal, their number one mission is to ensure that they rip us off of this gold that we have in our heart. So we have to be defensive. We have to be cautious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us and gifting us with this treasure. This is built-in deen, built-in acts that we have inside of our deen. These magnets that will attract the mercy and barakah and nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's built-in. But we have to value this treasure. We shouldn't want to squander this treasure by letting shaitan and nafs making us deprived of this. So we have to be defensive. And if we can be defensive, then, you know, inshallah, this treasure will increase. Every day and with every passing night, this treasure is going to keep on increasing in our heart. So this is the work that we have to do in this month. This is the mujahida. We have to fight our laziness and fighting sins. Maybe we don't, for the past 11 months, we haven't been able to do anything significant. We don't have any amal to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can at least present to Allah ta'ala this month of Ramadan, that Allah, I was weak for the past 11 months. I was lazy for the past 11 months. I wasn't able to do anything. But in this 1 month, I'm making this mujahida and trying to earn your radha. I'm trying to save myself from all those things. I'm doing this fasting of all those things in order to earn your radha, in order to come close to you. There's a story that's mentioned in the books about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that when he was being thrown inside the fire, very famous story, then at that point when he was being thrown inside the fire, there was a bird who came, and that bird would try to pour some drop of water on the fire, and then would go again, then bring another drop, and then try to pour the second drop, and continue to do this for some time. So that bird was asked by another creature that, what are you doing? The fire is so immense, so great, and you just have these drops. These drops will not be able to extinguish this fire. So the bird replied and said that, I also know this, that my drops will not be able to extinguish this fire. However, I'm doing this because on the day of Qiyamah, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, I will be able to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I did my part in extinguishing the fire on Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So I played my part. I did whatever I could do. So this is an example for all of us, that we have this opportunity now in front of us, and we can play our part, even if it's a small droplet. But that can also be a sabab for the qubuliyat of Allah Ta'ala. All of us know the reality of our situation, that we have a lot of sins. Our efforts are very few. But this month of Ramadan, it's about presenting ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. It's just that we present ourselves to Allah Ta'ala and make requests to Allah Ta'ala. Because we see in the world also that if someone goes to a very generous and a very compassionate and a sakhi king, and they go to that person's door for 1 month, and they're making a request with that king, then that person, the door will be opened, the king will give him whatever that person is requesting. So that is the case of the kings of this world. Then this is, here our ta'aluk, our relationship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more generous than any kings of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more merciful than any merciful person in this world. If we present ourselves to Allah for 1 month and present or make these requests to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, present ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hand over ourselves to Allah ta'ala, then inshallah Allah ta'ala, yakinan, there's no doubt about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will come in full force. Allah ta'ala's rahmah, Allah ta'ala's mercy will come, will pick us. Allah ta'ala's mercy will take us. Allah ta'ala's mercy will accept us. In fact, we don't even need the full force of Allah's mercy. We just need the one gaze of Allah's mercy. One glance of His mercy would be enough for us. One drop of His mercy would be enough for us. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to work in this month of Ramadan. Just like we're increasing our good deeds in this month, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also enable us to leave sins, to protect our eyes from misdirecting our gaze. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the fasting of our eyes, the fasting of our tongue, the fasting of our ears, the fasting of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a kamil fast in this month of Ramadan. And may Allah ta'ala save all of us from all the sins, all those things that are despicable and displeasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadah and use this fasting as a means to draw close to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make a short dua. Subhana rabbil al wahhab, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. Ya Allah, Rabbi Kareem, zalamna anfusana. Allah, we have done zulm on ourselves, we have oppressed ourselves. Wa illam taghfir lana, Ya Rabbi Kareem, if you don't forgive us, wa tarhamna, if you don't shower us with your mercy, lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allah, we will be amongst the khasirin, we'll be amongst the lost ones. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we turn to you tonight in this night of Ramadan, in tawbah, seeking istighfar, making true tawbah and repentance to you, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you to forgive us for all our sins that we have remembered, for all the sins that we have forgotten, for all the sins that we did during the day, for all the sins that we did during the night, for all the sins that we did in while we were alone, for all the sins that we did in gathering. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from all the zulmat of sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever effects that we have accumulated in our hearts because of sins, Allah, wipe away those effects of sins. Remove the ill effects of sins, Ya Allah. Let remove that distance that has come between us and you because of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us from all the effects of sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, in this month of Ramadan, to be able to mold ourselves in a way that is pleasing to you, to be able to change ourselves in a way that is pleasing to you. Allah, change every single thing about us in this month of Ramadan. Allah, make us in a way such that we have become pleasing in your eyes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us that himma, and strength to be able to leave sins in this month of Ramadan, to protect our gaze in this month of Ramadan, to be able to protect our tongue in this month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, save us from the sins of our eyes in this month. Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from the sins of the tongue in this month. Allah, save us from the sins of ears in this month. Allah, save us from the sinful thoughts and sinful memories, sinful feelings and sinful emotions in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us a sin-free life. Ya Allah, grant us acceptance, Ya Allah, for such a life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, those people who are leading such a pure life, life of taqwa, they're only able to do so because of your tawfiq, because of the tawfiq that you have given to them. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to shower us with your mercy tonight. And Allah, give us also that same tawfiq so that we can also stay away from sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we also want to stay away from sins. We also want to, Ya Allah, lead such a life of taqwa, such a life of tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, for that qubuliyya. We ask you for that rahmah. We ask you, Ya Allah, for that hidayah. We ask you, Ya Allah, for that tawfiq. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, decree for us such a life of taqwa, for such a life of tahara, for such a life of tawbah. Allah, decree for us, Ya Allah, such a life that is clear of sins, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, save us from the environment of sin, save us from the thoughts of sins, save us from the memories of sins, save us, Ya Allah, from all those things which remind us of sin, from all those steps that take us towards sin, from all those situations that take us towards sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, make us firm in taqwa. Allah, grant us your love, grant us the intensity of your love, that love that will enable us to stay away from sins, from all those things that are displeasing to you. Increase us in our love for you, increase us in our shiddat of love for you. Allah, make us love you more than anything else in this world, more than anyone else in this world. Ya Rabbi Kareem, increase us in our longing for you, in our desire for you, in our yearning for you, in our raghbat for you, in our talab for you, in our muhabbat for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fill our hearts with the feelings of love for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you have said in Quran that yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu, that you love them and then they love you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, we know that you love us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to be able to experience that qurb that you have given to us in Quran. Allah, you say in Quran that fa'inni kareeb, that you are near to us. Allah, we also want to be able to feel that nearness, that closeness, that intimacy, that companionship with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us your rahmah tonight, Ya Allah. Accept us, Ya Allah, to be able to experience that qurb. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we also want to love you back, just like the way you love us, Ya Allah. We also want to reciprocate this love. We also want to love you back. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we want to love you from the full extent of our heart. Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabba ilayya min nafsi wa ahli wa mali wa waladi wa min al-ma'i al-baridi ala al-zama'i. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to make our love for you more than any other loves that we have in our heart, more than the love for our parents, more than the love for our own selves, more than the love for our spouse, more than the love for our kids, more than the love for this world and the wealth of this world, more than the love for anything else of this world, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, increase us in our love for you. Allahumma ja'alni uhibbuka biqalbi kullihi. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we want to be able to love you with the full extent of our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, up till now, we have been loving you with half-heartedly, with half heart. We haven't been able to love you fully. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant us that tawfiq so that we can love you with the full extent of our heart, with the full force of our heart, with the whole heart, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us that jazba, Allah, grant us that passion, Allah, grant us that desire, that talab and tadab, Ya Allah. Ignite the flame of your love in our heart, Ya Allah. Allah, reignite that flame in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us the desire to be able to meet you. Allahumma inna nas'aluka shawkan ila liqa'ik wa ladzatan nazri ila wajhikal kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, increase us in a desire to meet you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, place in our heart the desire to be able to meet you, the didar of you, the ru'yat of you, the vision of you in akhirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us that shawk, Ya Allah. Grant us that zawk, Ya Allah. Allah, make us people of zikr. Make us people of remembrance. Allah, make us people who remember you abundantly. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we want to be able to perfect our fast to such a degree that every single moment, Ya Allah, we spent in your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we don't want to break our fast, Ya Allah. Allah, we don't want to break our fast, Ya Allah. Allah, we don't want to fall back into heedlessness, Ya Allah. Allah, we want to be able to lead such a zakir life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us true. Allah, grant us trueness in our relationship with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to remember you every single moment of our life. Allah, make us mizdaq of those ayat of Quran, those people who remember you while they're standing and sitting and lying on their sides. Allah, make us mizdaq of that ayat of Quran, those people that they engage in the dunya, but nothing of this world can distract them from your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us, Ya Allah, such a zikr in our hearts, such a zikr kaseer in our hearts, and Ya Allah, save us from ghafla. Wala takum min al-ghafilin. Allah, you command us to stay away from ghafla, but Ya Allah, we look at our life, Allah, we have nothing except for ghafla in our hearts. Ya Allah, we ask you to turn our hearts away from this ghafla. Remove all the feelings of ghafla from our hearts, all the emotions that are empty of you from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, adorn this heart with your zikr, with your remembrance. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Accept these hearts, Ya Allah, for your qurb and for your ma'iyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever du'as that we have made, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant us better than what we can make, what we can ask from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, according to your own shan. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alaina innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala 'ala habibihi khayr khalqihi Muhammadin wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.